Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. What are your expectations as far as a man leading you in a relationship? Do you remember what you said?
No.
Okay. He said, I expect him to be a planner and to be able to look to him when I don't know what move to make next. Do you want to expand on that?
Sure. Okay. So I think, so remember, I was answering this half awake. So I think I'm I don't know if you call it anxiety or, you know, what have you, but like, I feel like I'm so unsure in myself all the time. I'm always looking to somebody to be that decision maker. And I feel like a lot of like our culture has revolved around the whole boss babe, like women can do it themselves and everything. And we're like experiencing burnout, like by trying to do everything ourselves. Right. Mm-hmm. And then once you realize like biblical roles for man and woman, you realize, oh, women aren't supposed to be doing it all and having it all together like that. So I think I started realizing that, and it's like, oh, like I do want somebody that's going to like take control and take the lead on things and, you know, be the one that's going to like plan a date or plan what we're going to do in XYZ situation versus like feeling like I've got to be the one that's like, oh, I can take care of myself. I can take care of this. Like, mm-hmm. That's just women naturally want to be taken care of. And I think realizing that that was like God's design in general was like what made me realize like, oh, I don't need to just do it all myself. I don't need to be the boss babe. No, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yep. I agree. Yep. I agree.
Like, no wonder I'm burnt out and I feel overwhelmed all the time.
Yeah.
I wasn't supposed to be doing this.
This wasn't supposed to be my responsibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thanks for explaining, because I agree. And, you know, you bring up such great points about our messed up culture and how we need to fix things. So what do you find most attractive in men?
Like, besides their looks?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I can go all day about that. What I find most attractive in a man, I think that kind of goes back to leadership. I feel like a guy who's able to make decisions and, like, you know, me not have to wonder or ask is one of the most attractive things, you know, aside from his faith. Somebody who's very, like, very deep into their relationship with God is very, very attractive. Mm-hmm. But I think also leadership kind of comes along with that too. Like, the closer you get to God, the stronger leader you're probably going to be too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very valid. Agreed. Okay. Because you also said the ability to stand up for what they believe in, which is mm-hmm. also very, very attractive.
Yes. Not anybody who's going to, you know, do what the government tells them at the drop of a hat.
Agreed.
Not to be specific about anything, but
yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, agreed.
Just in general, you know, general statements.
General, very over generalized statement.
Mm-hmm. Covers an array of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I know we've talked about this a little bit, but, you know, we're gonna rant out about communication, because I feel like it's an important thing to talk about. And in the past, I feel like you've had great perspective on how important communication is. So I'm just gonna open up the floor. What does communication look like to you? And yeah, I don't know, like wherever you go with that.
Okay. Communication. Well, you got a problem, you talk about it. You got a problem, you hash it out. You don't sit there, you don't stew in it. You tell, you know, I feel like, how is anybody supposed to, you know, do what you want? Like, and I think women have that problem a lot too, right? Like, mm-hmm. they expect all these like nonverbal cues to be picked up really easily by men. And it's just not that way. They're not good at that. So, you know, how are you going to expect somebody to do what you want or behave in a certain way that you expect if you've never voiced that to them? You can't just sit there and stew like, oh, they didn't do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, well, you also never told them that you would like X, Y, and Z to be done. So I think that's really important. I think like not letting problems fester, because I've had that destroy relationships, both on my end and on their end. Things never got, you know, get talked about. You know, there's a problem and then you just wait a day or two and then everybody's, you know, happy go lucky again. But it's like the initial problem never got sorted out. So it's going to inevitably come up again. Yeah, that's like, it's, I feel a lot of people would get along a lot better if they just communicated better and knew how to talk to each other about things, knew how to, even, I feel like even if you, you know, even if you have like this irrational feeling, right, those should still be voiced too, because otherwise those are going to take root and turn into a whole bunch of things that aren't true. Like, oh, they just don't care about me. Like, I know this thought's irrational, but they didn't even notice I was off. Like, they must not care enough or whatever. So like even, and I feel like partners also have to be able to receive that better too. I feel like everybody has to stop taking things so personally. Like, just because somebody says they're hurt by something doesn't necessarily mean like you hurt them and you get defensive. Cause I've had that experience too. Like, if I was upset about anything, like somebody thought that, oh, I'm the problem. And it's like, I never said you were the problem. I'm just upset right now. So I think people need to be better at receiving like those little, just little blips in life where it's like somebody's just irrationally feeling this way. Versus, you know, taking it to heart.
I agree. The, you know, the irrational thought process, right? Like, we all have them, you know, men don't like to admit it, but I feel like they can have them just as much as we do. And, you know, like if you're like in that relationship, like you said it, and you don't even just voice it, even though we all know it's not rational, right? Yes, it's important to be able to talk about those things regardless of how rational or irrational they are, in the sense that, you know, they don't, like you said, they don't take root. And
it's all about planting seeds. If you let a seed like sit there and get watered and takes root, it grows into something way bigger.
Okay, that's a great point.
You know, bad seeds.
Yes, good and bad seeds. You're going to reap what you sow. So why not talk about it and like not let that be a foothold issue? Because I feel like that's another way that the enemy can mess up your relationship. You know, if you have doubt, or, you know, if you have whatever other fear that's coming up and you're not willing to bring it up to your partner, then you're just going to cause more issues down the line.
Right.
So let's talk about the pictures question. And
pictures question.
Yeah. The why do you use pictures that you can't live up to question.
Oh, that question.
Yep.
It's like pictures question.
The pictures question. Why do you why do you post pictures that you can't live up to?
Listen, I just want to talk to this guy. I just want to talk.
I agree.
My goodness. So I feel like this is all going to be stuff I've already like probably said to you, because I didn't really, I mean, I definitely thought about it a lot, but I didn't like come up with much more than that. Like, I understand the frustration with filters and everything. I get that. I really do. But I feel like that should be like an annoyance and like a, you know, I feel like that should be something more directed at society than just at women. Because like this, the culture that we've created is like, oh, you can change whatever you want. You don't like the way this looks. You can get plastic surgery. You can do this. You can do that, along with a whole bunch of other things that you can apparently change. But yeah, pretty much we're living in a culture where if you don't like something, you don't like the way you look, you don't like the way anything, you can change that. Like, everybody needs to, you know, be their most beautiful and hottest self. So I feel like that's an issue better taken up with culture and not so much with women, because, you know, like, it's definitely like, it's a social media thing. You see, you compare yourself to other people, and like, not like men and women do this. Like, you can't just say that only women are out there trying to make themselves like look better to attract men. Men are doing this too. That's why some of y'all are putting 5'10" on your, or 6 foot on your profiles when you're 5'10". Like, you men are doing this, you know, not the same exact things, but they are doing comparable things, to also attract a mate. Like, it's not just women out here doing that. But you ought to blame culture more than you blame either sex, just because it's the culture has created this thing of I can change whatever I don't like about myself. Mm-hmm. And it's starting to bleed into individualism, and everybody is like wanting to look the same or be the same type. And it's, you know, it's kind of, I think it's a slap in the face to God, because he made us all unique and in his image. So, you know, I think you could look at it from both ends there. And like, I'm guilty of it too. I don't like put over filtered things on, but if I see a filter that like hides a zit better than, you know, using the raw like footage, yeah, I'm going to use that. I don't want you to know I have a big freaking pimple on my cheek. Like, mm-hmm. But I think the live up to comment is a little out there, especially when you can pretty much tell like if there's a filter over an image nowadays. Like, I feel like we've gotten so used to it. It's not like it's a big secret that filters are everywhere, and you can tell the difference between a raw image versus a filtered one.
Mm-hmm. Although it's getting really hard to tell the difference between an AI filter and a real person.
That is true.
Which is getting scary.
But you got to look at the hands.
Yeah.
So you see those like jacked up hands that some of them have.
Yep.
Like, for whatever reason, AI can't get the fact that humans have five fingers and not like three like weird nubs going on.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing is too, on that same point, like for me, when I see a photo that's like looks a little bit too professional, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever, then I am like, okay, then this person is probably not real. Right. You know, like I kind of go from that perspective. Now, that's not every single person, because some people will go get pictures done for their dating profiles, and mm-hmm. that's cool. But like for me personally, that's not what I'm looking at. Like, I'm looking at like somebody who looks more real, because I'm not gonna swipe on somebody that screams fake to me. And,
right.
You know, so that's another point. Like, if you are a guy that doesn't like, you know, an over-filtered photo, then why are you even liking her anyway?
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it's not, on some level, you swiped on this girl, you know, for whatever reason, and then she shows up to a date and she doesn't look like her photos, then it's kind of on you. If
right.
you liked the original photos over what you see in person, and that, and we can get
like
into,
you know, what people look like day to day, like
yeah, exactly. And
you can tell when something looks a little too like proper, like too like everything's too perfect and in place. You can tell, you feel that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like it should be more apparent. You know, and I don't know. I don't see a guy. I don't see the guy's side of a dating app, right? Like, I only mm-hmm. see my side. So I'm not seeing what these guys are seeing.
Right.
But I also think that dating apps are, you know, being used as a way to promote other things. And they're not, in my opinion, they're not realistic. Like, I feel like you kind of hit it on the nail on the head though, like when you said we both do it. So like, yeah. why are we both doing it? Like, it just needs mm-hmm. to stop, period.
Right.
You know, be honest with who you are, and you know, somebody along the lines will appreciate that. And you know, all those weird things that are you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
whatever package they come in.
Right. Oh, so everybody's messed up. Pick your favorite train wreck.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Pick the train wreck you want to go down through life with. Mm-hmm. So our mutual friend and I, we were talking about the whole visual thing, and like how women tend to, yes, we're visual, but there's also a whole lot of other things that kind of go into attractiveness for us.
Right.
Like, you already kind of touched on that a little bit, but I'm trying to remember like where the point was that she came in and I was like, that's so good, we should have recorded that. But she was just kind of referencing, you know, that we as women, yes, we are visual, we're going to look at the outside, but we might date somebody that's not the traditional standard of, you know, society's hot, right? Mm-hmm. Because he has all these other things that are important to us. Like, right. You know, he has the same core values that we do, mm-hmm. either biblically or politically. You know, and then he might be a really good communicator, you know, right? And all these other things. So I don't know don't know if you have any thoughts on that or not.
Yeah. I guess we can you can even save that for, you know, like why women are like using those filters and everything. Cause we know men are more visual, and that's like the only way that we're going to, most of the time, not all the time, you know, it's not the rule. It's just the, you know, just what's the most common. But like, that's why women do it. Like they know, we know men are more visual. So that's the only way we're going to be able to attract him. Meanwhile, a woman can, you know, fall in love with somebody that is not their type normally. Like I've experienced that, like maybe not in love, but I started having like feelings for somebody that was totally not physically my type at all. But because we shared a lot of the same like ideas about the world and stuff like that, and we got along so well, it's like the feelings started creeping in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think the friend zone that guys like to, you know, talk so like bad about, like, oh, you're stuck in the friend zone. It's not a bad place to be, because women do eventually, and I'm not saying it's always going to happen, but women do eventually start seeing how well they get along with the men around them. And it does start having an impact of whether like, oh, maybe I could date them. Like, cause I mean, yeah, the physical is important too. Obviously attraction is important, but the more women start to get to know somebody more, the more, you know, physical attraction becomes like less and less important. And you do become physically attracted because all these other attributes are there. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that.
Mic drop.
Yep. So boys, the friend zone is not a bad place to be.
Yes. Agreed. You know,
especially if you want to play the long game, if you're playing the long game, friend zone is not a bad place to be, but it has to be genuine friend zone. It can't be like, oh, if I'm her friend, I'm just going to like pounce when the time is right. It can't be like that. It has to be, you got to be genuine about everything that you, you know, present yourself to a woman with. Like, mm-hmm. You have to genuinely want to be your friend. It can't be with ulterior motives, because women can sense that and sense all of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is another mic drop moment, because we can.
Yeah.
And we're going to call that out too. Like, that's going to make us be like, oh, well, I can't, you know, I can't trust you in that way, or, you know, I'm going to have to put up a boundary for whatever the reason may be, because, you know, you're not being truthful, or you're not right. being, you know, honest or whatever. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like we totally can spot that. And it's actually pretty obvious to me. I don't know if every woman, but I feel like it's really mm-hmm. obvious to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're not being genuine right now. And I right. don't want to deal with it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've seen it plenty of times. It's like, oh, I'm the nice guy. Like I'm her friend. I'm the nice guy. As soon as somebody says that they're a nice guy, that's red flag to me. 100% as a red flag. That doesn't mean you're not a nice guy, but if you're playing the nice guy role and you think that, oh, I'm such a nice guy, it's like, okay, what are you trying to get at? What are you trying to do? You're probably just trying to get in her pants.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another little tidbit.
There is. That is. Mm-hmm. I think too, like, I don't know if we want to chat about this, but the misconception that all women want the bad boy, like what? No. Just
right.
No, mm-hmm. We really don't.
Yeah. I think the whole asshole thing gets like mixed up with like, no, women just want somebody who's assertive and is not going to be a doormat to us. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and like some guys think that's like, oh, he's being an asshole. It's like, no, I want to be called out on my shit. Like, I don't want to just be like, you know, like you need accountability. Women need accountability. Men need accountability. I would like to be, sorry, I cussed on this. I want to be called out though. I want to be called out on it. You know, because nobody's perfect. And like, I know some women would probably get like offended if their man told them, hey, I don't like this. Actually, I know women who get mad at men telling them, hey, I don't like this. But I think it ends up being better for your relationship. It ends up, you know, in the long run. And if a woman can't handle a man like telling her like, hey, I don't like this, or something's wrong with this, or, you know, et cetera, then you should probably find another woman. If no one can handle that, like men and women, if you can't handle that as a partner, then you are probably not ready to be in a relationship. But mm-hmm. the majority of women want somebody who's more assertive and can call them out on stuff that, you know, needs to be called out. Cause we all have like undesirable behaviors, right? Like we're, no one's perfect. We're all works in progress. So accountability is important. I think that's where most men think that, you know, a guy is being a jerk to a girl and like, oh, that's how he gets women. No, he's probably just asserting himself and not, you know, bending to what somebody wants just because he wants to get in her pants.
Yes. Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with all that. The there is a big, it's, see, people say it's a fine line, and I'm like, no, there's a pretty huge line between assertive and aggressive.
Yeah. Like, oh, totally.
You know, and just because somebody is coming off as assertive doesn't mean that they're actually like aggressive or vice versa. You know, some people will see like aggression and think that that's being assertive. And I'm like, no, that's no, not the same.
Exactly.
You know, but yeah, like, I agree. There's a huge difference between somebody being just a complete ass and somebody saying like, hey, you know, I'm going to be a little vulnerable here. I think that, you know, such and such behavior is, you know, whatever, like, I have a problem with it. I want to discuss it with you, you know, like, obviously it doesn't have to come out in that way, but, you know, again, there's a difference between saying, hey, you will not do this versus I would appreciate if you didn't do this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like that, phrasing is huge.
I agree. I do think, I also think like you don't necessarily always need to, you know, there's certain subjects at least that don't, that shouldn't be like tiptoed around. Like if it's like a hard non-negotiable for you, you know, like, cause sometimes like, I feel like somebody could use the, I would appreciate it if you didn't, as a way of tiptoeing to like not diffuse a bomb. But if there's something that's like a hard no for you, you know, that could be communicated with like, you know, this, I can't be in a relationship that, you know, that has X, Y, or Z in it. Like, so that's going to be like something you have to decide, or if we should just, you know, end it here. Like what, like, you know, that whole Jonah thing that happened a couple months ago, like stuff like that. Like everybody was harping on him for like, oh, that's her job, that's what she does. And it's like, okay, that's cool. But, and oh, he got with her when she was already doing stuff like that. And it's like, well, okay, you could probably get with somebody too, who's like out there sleeping around. When you get with them, do you still think that they should be like sleeping around? Like if they're already doing that when you get together, I mean, that's not, you know, the same as posting pictures in a bikini or whatever, but you know, kind of same sentiment, at least a little bit. But if somebody like, you know, doesn't want their person out there advertising to the world or, you know, being half naked, I get that. Do I think her pictures were really that bad? No, but do I understand him wanting a certain boundary in his relationship? Yeah, 100%. I don't think it has to be a bad thing. Like, okay, cool. They're not for each other. That's fine. Move along and find somebody else. But I don't think you need to be villainized because you have different boundaries than somebody else.
Yep. I would agree.
Where did that question come from? I forget now. Where did we start there?
I don't even remember.
I don't either.
I don't know.
What a tangent.
We just rabbit trailed. It's fine.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point of this, just being able to, you know, just have a conversation. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, more guys need to like learn what leadership looks like, what assertiveness looks like, confidence looks like. You know, and then we as the women need to be less boss babe. You know, and
more submissive,
yes.
Which nobody likes that word, apparently.
Yeah.
And well, I get it. I didn't like it either, really, 100%. I was like, I don't want to have to answer to anybody.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Me either.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, oh, go ahead.
That like that, you know, I'm not going to, certainly not going to answer to somebody who doesn't have like a strong leadership, like characteristic about them, you know? Certainly not going to do that. You think you can tell me what to do?
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, is like, you bring up such a great point. There's a difference between somebody who has my respect as a legitimate leader,
right?
I'm going to be like, okay, cool, we're going to go along with this, versus somebody who doesn't have those characteristics and is coming at it from a, you know, like, I guess trying to be a little bit too macho and being like, well, we're going to do this, you know? There's give and take there.
Right.
like if you are somebody who has respect in yourself and also respects me, in my opinion, hell yeah, I'm going to be like, okay, cool. Where are we going? What are we doing? you know, I'm going to go right along with this versus somebody who, you know, feels like they can't handle me being a little bit stubborn or me kind of having a question about something. Because just because I'm going to go along with it doesn't mean I'm not going to ask, well, like, okay, why, you know, or
did you pray
about this or, you know, whatever. I'm not coming at it from the, oh, I'm questioning what you're doing. I'm just kind of like making sure like, hey, you did what you needed to do mm-hmm. before I go submitting to, you know, it too. So yeah, that's a rant in and of itself though. But you know, I mean, I have a hard time. I've said this for a long time that, you know, if somebody's coming at me saying like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, blah, 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 but you're not my father and you're not my husband, I'm not gonna follow that. Like, because I mean, obviously like leadership positions in church and like, you know, that kind of stuff, that's a different
thing. Right.
Like if I was in ministry, that's a different thing. But I'm talking like everyday life.
Yeah. Somebody who's already not in a respected role in your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or somebody who has lost my respect.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. who had it at one point but has since lost it. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
You haven't earned it back. So I'm not going to sit here and take what you say as the gospel. Like, because again, you're not my husband. You're not my father. Mm-hmm. You might be somebody that I have to respect because you're an elder or you're a family member or whatever, but that still doesn't mean that I'm going to take what you say as gospel just because you think that you can say whatever. Mm-hmm. And I know some people might hear that and be like, ooh. But again, it comes down to the respect. Like if you're going to treat me with disrespect, I'm going to have a really hard time respecting mm-hmm. you,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's not talked about enough that we value, well, at least for me, I value respect way more than the average female, mm-hmm. You know, because I think that that's just, it should be mutual, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
And again, I will submit to you that if like the respect in leadership is there, like I don't have a problem with that at all.
I'm like, okay. It's not like you just get it right off the bat off of meeting somebody.
No.
Yeah.
No, that is earned.
And like, yeah, there's like a baseline respect that you have with all strangers, right? And then the respect that submission comes with is the respect that's got to be earned and grow. It doesn't, you know, not, you know, just because you're a man that walks up to me doesn't mean I have to listen to everything you say. And I think that's what like a lot of women don't like the term submission over too, is because they think, oh, I've got to listen to all men. No, it's you find like we're so burnt out because we want to naturally be led by somebody. So you find, you date, you learn who you want to be in that role of your life. And then you go along with what they say. Obviously, before you get to that point in your relationship, you're probably going to be agreeing with most of what they do. It's not like mm-hmm. just this blind thing. And then if something comes along where you are torn on, you know, biblically, you are supposed to go with what your husband says, which I agree with, except there's one subject that I'm like, what if it was like this? But we'll go on to that because that's a subject probably not for this.
Mm-hmm.
A little rough.
Yeah. And I think that like, it's not only that issue, but there can be so many other things that you don't necessarily think about in the dating relationship and stuff will come up, you know, later mm-hmm. on down the road and you're like, oh, ugh.
Right.
You know, what does this look like?
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we've got all the normal things like, oh, how do we expect to raise kids? Right. Like, how do we expect to, you know, live? And then hopefully in biblical relationships, at least, people are like thinking about, you know, the end times and everything and what the end times are going to look like and how you're going to respond when those times come up. So so hopefully like if you're going to church and you're understanding what's going to happen, hopefully you're on the same page about something that's, since they're kind of telling of the times at least. Mm-hmm. That was my little rant. I've always like thought about like, well, what if I was in that situation? Like, what would God have expected me to do in that situation? But I'm glad I have outside perspective before having to have made that decision. But yeah, mm-hmm. questions still in the back of my head sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you bring up another good point. Like we don't honestly know what the mark of the beast is going to be. Like we don't know. Right.
Well, chip or number in your forehead or your palm. Like we're going to know what it is, but anyways, yeah. Or yeah, the number, chip or a number.
Yeah.
But chip with still a number.
I'll be sorry. But I mean, we don't know, I guess, when it's coming is like more like how I want to say that. And so,
yeah.
You know, and it's very possible that, you know, in certain situations, it's going to look so good that some people are going to want it. And, right. you know, that you thought were believers. And so it's just mm-hmm. kind of like, how does that work? And so that's kind of where my brain went when you started talking about the other thing, you know, and like, what does that look like too? Mm-hmm. If we are in a relationship, God forbid, in a relationship that is becoming an issue.
Right.
You know, like, I feel like I would suss somebody out well enough to know whether they were legitimate believers or not before entering that. But that still could be a thing because we know that the deception is going to be huge. And we can already see it and we already see the roadmap for it. So it's just kind of like, what do we do in that situation? Mm-hmm. Me, I'd be like, bye.
Right.
You know, like,
later. Yeah. Like later, that's bro. As the one thing that we cannot do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to head out.
I'll be over here because I still want to, you know, I still want to not have to deal with that. So, yeah, it's just like, I mean, there are the things that are pretty big in situations like that. Mm-hmm. But I still think some of us don't always realize what some of those issues are until it, like, you know, is presented.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do you want him to share?
Okay. I think, okay. Yes, I of course would want somebody to share because that comes in part like with the communication, right? Like, yeah, I want you to tell me what's going on with you or if you're having a rough day or if you're, you know, feeling a certain way, you know. Yes, I think that should be shared. But I do see men and women just like constantly, like that seems to be all they do is like complain about what's going on in their life. Like, or like, oh, I'm so upset that this happened. And it's like, okay, well, and it would be like some random, you know, just nuanced day-to-day thing, right? Like regular frustrations of the world. It's like, we all have them. We don't need to constantly like, you know, complain about it. I feel like there's some people who just, that is all they do is complain about the things going on around them. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't think it looks weak for a man to express like that he's had a rough day or that he's upset about something. But I do know men who it seems it's all that comes out of their mouth. So yeah, that's what I mean about like whether or not it's becoming like a constant complaining problem versus like you know, just trying to communicate that you've had a hard day.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. And I mean, that goes for anybody. Anybody does. Everybody does that. Everybody complains. And then there's just a line like with anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like sometimes too, when it's something that you can change, like, mm-hmm. why are we complaining about it? Like, again, there's a difference between venting about something and then just to get it out and then complaining mm-hmm. about something to the point of like driving everybody nuts.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and again, too, like if you're taking steps to change whatever it is, like I still feel like we're going to have those moments where if you're in the struggle of like changing said thing, you're going to have those days where you're like, oh, I'm just so frustrated. Cool.
Right.
Like, let's talk about that. You know, but then again, like what steps are you taking to keep changing? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. I'm glad I explained that well. Mm-hmm. I did figure out that there's something I want to do, like post actual interviews, is go back and ask everybody who didn't really have an issue with purity culture versus everybody who did have an issue with purity culture, and then kind of do like a roadmap of like where they grew up and like what type of church they went to. Just because I'm fascinated now to like see how many of us did and how many of us didn't. Your biggest struggle with dating currently.
So like, I don't know. Cause my first reaction to that is that I think I'm in my own way, but also at the same time, I'm thinking like, no, I think I've also just, it's partly that. And then also partly like realizing I've got a whole lot more non-negotiables and I'm a lot more, I don't know if I'm being like more intentional, but I have more criteria at least for what I want. So as soon as I realize I have more criteria for what I want in a relationship, and maybe I'm just seeing that out like sooner than later half the time or what, but, I think my biggest struggle is like a lot of, so it's that. But then also I feel like a lot of people are so quick to want to jump into a relationship just because they don't want to be alone too. And I'm not that way. I'd rather be alone than realize I'm in the same place that I like have been previously in relationships. Like, I really want to take the time to get to know people. So I don't know, that becomes a struggle on dating apps because people are so like ready to be in a relationship on a dating app versus me. I'm like, I want to approach this as like a friend's first thing, like a genuine friend's first thing that there could be interest down the line, maybe. So I have a hard time with dating apps that way. And I think that's why it's going to end up being better for me to meet somebody organically versus on an app. Mm-hmm. Even though I would like my intention is like, you know, friendship and then eventually, hopefully, maybe more relationship. But I don't know. I think I'm approaching dates a different way than a lot of men are, for sure. And I mean, men and women are different. So that makes sense. Right. But
yes, it is.
Not the same. Can't do it.
We are not the same. And that's fine.
You can dress it up in a skirt, but we're not the same.
Seriously. But I think, okay, so I don't know if you want to talk about this, but I was just going to ask you, how is it going finding your organic date for this year?
Not well, because I'm not putting myself out there enough. Mm-hmm. We're working on changing that because I've got 2.5 months left. So, I mean, it's not going great. I need to put myself in more situations that I'd be more likely to find somebody that would meet my criteria. And I haven't been doing that. Social anxiety and but we've got kind of a plan. I'm gonna start going to that church group, I think, or at least I'm gonna go on Tuesday and check it out and see if it's something that I want to keep going to after. I'm still trying to talk, that's tomorrow, oh my gosh, it's tomorrow, still trying to talk myself into going.
I think that's such a good point though, and that goes back to the dating apps and, you know, the level of connectivity and all of that. It's like important to just go out and find places you can meet people in real life,
right? Yeah, I agree. I think it's hard to really know what somebody is like on an app. And I find myself building somebody up to be different than who they really are more often than not. So, you know, everybody says that like they have no expectations, but that's, you know, that's not true. You set an expectation, like that is the whole reason you go on the date, right? Like you've already expected to get along with this person. If you don't expect to get along with somebody, why are you going on the date then? So you have already set up some kind of expectation in your mind. Whether how much you like delve into that is a different story. But I have a problem with like thinking like, oh, this person is so great on paper. And then realizing like that we just don't either click in the date or, you know, somebody is expecting for it to go like a totally different way than, you know, I don't know. I feel like the second date's a whole lot easier than the first date because you've already gotten the awkward part out of the way. That's not the same for everybody because some people don't have like they don't feel the awkwardness sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. I always do. I'm always like, yep, first date, awkward. Totally awkward. I definitely need like a second date to really feel like I've assessed somebody appropriately. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I'm finding that most of the dates I'm going on aren't that way. They seem to be more like, you know, willing to like just either jump into a relationship or like with somebody that they're like, not me necessarily, but they're more like looking for a relationship right now, right then, out of this. So they either move on or not, you know, more quickly. Anyways.
And I think that too, like, brings up another point. Like, we've already kind of touched on it, but like the friendship level and not jumping into something too quickly. You know, I think that's a pressure from society that, and maybe even a little bit of purity culture. yeah, a lot of us have this expectation of, okay, dating is leading to marriage. And so we need to jump to that part like really quickly instead of, taking our dear sweet time to actually get to know this person before going, oh yeah, I'm going to totally marry them.
Right.
You know, and you can't really assess that, I feel like, you know, that quickly. Right. I mean, you can, not on one date, but I mean, I'm saying like you can over like a period of time, you know, maybe a couple of months if you're asking the right questions and you're spending the time to get to know somebody. But again, it's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
So yeah, that's another rant. Gentlemen, take your time. Okay. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink.
If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anepiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.